Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. We're in part two of Jesus, His Faith. If you remember, the last service was Jesus, His Faith, part one. I didn't know it was going to be two-part until I began preparing it. But we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. We see immediately Jesus taught with authority, which means he taught with faith in the word that he taught. He taught with faith in that word. He knew the power of the word. He knew the source of the word. He knew what that word would do in the lives of those who heard and received it. And so he was able to teach in a way that others could not teach. Now today, if someone knows the word of God, if they are full of faith, they will teach with authority. They will teach the word of God as if they know the word of God, as if they know the Lord Jesus, and if they know the effects of God's word. Jesus knew what it would produce. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit who cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out." When the unclean spirit had torn the man and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Jesus rebuked the spirit in faith. Jesus used his faith against unclean spirits, against any spirit of the world of darkness. He knew he had authority. He used his faith and simply said, he didn't have a big show. He didn't have to have the guy do anything. He just simply said, "Come out of him, be quiet and come out of him." And it came out. Now, it cried in a loud voice. It made a little bit of a show, but it came out. Jesus rebuked that spirit with faith, by faith. We have faith over the spirit realm. We have faith over the powers of darkness. We must use our faith in those areas as well. They were all amazed, insomuch as they questioned among themselves, "What thing is this?" They had never seen faith in action. They had never seen faith in action. When you operate by faith, the faith of Jesus, there will be results that people will want to know, "What new doctrine is this? What is this?" And of course, people who are not moving in that will say it's not of God, will say it's something other than what it is. They'll start to try to detract from it. But it was very clear. Jesus read the same word that was being read in the synagogue, read the same word that the scribes and Pharisees were reading and teaching, and yet he taught by faith. So they said, "What new doctrine is this? What is this?" They saw the result of God's word. "And for with authority commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately his fame spread throughout the region round about Galilee. Forthwith, they came out of the synagogue. They entered into Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a fever, and they told him. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Jesus used his faith over sickness. Jesus knew his faith was stronger than any sickness. Now, this was a simple sickness. This was a fever. And Jesus just picked her up by the hand, and his faith, by doing that simple act, communicated his power. Faith communicates power. Faith communicates power. No faith, no power. Faith equals power. This is why we'll see so many with no power, no miracles, no answered prayer, nothing happening. Faith equals power. So, it says, at evening when the sun set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. All the city was gathered together at Peter's house, at the door. The whole city of Capernaum. Don't you think word traveled throughout that town? Now, it wasn't a gigantic city, but everybody came out of their houses. Everybody who knew anybody that was sick, anybody that was possessed, anybody who had any kind of an issue, they brought them to Peter's house, and they were outside the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, cast out many devils, and allowed the devils not to speak because they knew him. He never wanted his word to be proclaimed by the powers of darkness. Over and over, he stopped them from speaking. He didn't want the good news or even who he was proclaimed by the powers of darkness, because the powers of darkness will always use some truth and then mix in error. So we don't want to ever put any trust in anything of darkness. But we're going to keep going. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Not sure what that was. Was that the iPad?
The computer.
All right. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Prayer was his energy source. Faith was his energy dispersal. He got his source from prayer. He dispersed it through faith. He utilized it through faith. We take time to pray, to receive, and then we use our faith to give. We take time to receive in prayer, then use our faith to give. Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said, "Everybody's looking for you." He said, "Let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, because that's why I came." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. There came to him a leper, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, this is where we often say someone comes to Jesus, asks, "If it's your will, you can heal me." And Jesus immediately answers, "I will." Not in this version, but in Luke and in Matthew. "I will, be thou made whole." Here, Jesus looks at a leper. Now, at that time, leprosy was incurable. Today, it's cured with an injection. I can't remember what it is, but it's curable today. In that time, incurable, and they believed it was highly contagious, more contagious than it actually was, but they believed it was. So a leper was not allowed in a town. A leper was not allowed in a synagogue. You were commanded that if you saw a leper, to throw stones at the leper to chase him away. And lepers were required to shout, "Leper, leper," as they came anywhere near people. So no one would touch them. No one would be anywhere near them. So this one comes, and Jesus is moved with compassion and touches him. This is unheard of. No one would ever touch a leper, ever, ever, ever. Jesus touches him, probably embraces him, probably takes hold of him, which means that Jesus not only had faith over sickness, but he had faith over contagion, faith over incurable diseases. His faith was stronger than any virus, any bacteria, any cancer. His faith was stronger than any disease that could ever come upon a human body. His faith was stronger. And he said, "I will, be thou clean." As soon as he had done what? Spoken. As soon as he had spoken. Speaking is how we release our faith. Speaking is how we release our faith. As soon as he was spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. He was cleansed. Straightly charged him and sent him away. But word, I'll go ahead and read verse 44. "See thou, say nothing to anyone, go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony." Because the word of God in the Old Testament said what to offer after being cleansed from leprosy. But he went out and began to publish it and to blaze it abroad, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was outside in deserted. Now it says desert, deserted places. It wasn't desert in the Galilee, deserted. Not a town, not a village, not a city. But the people still came to him from everywhere, it says. I'm going to go to chapter 2 now. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. He preached the word by faith. He told them that God's word would come to pass in their lives. He told them how they could be changed by the power of God's word. He told them how God loved them. Everything that his word holds. They come to him bringing one sick of paralysis, which was carried by four people. When they could not come anywhere near the house because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I've done messages specifically on this miracle, and I'm not going to talk about them breaking up the roof today. When Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four that carried him up, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus had faith to forgive sin. Never, ever had anyone ever heard of sin being forgiven. They had to wait for the Day of Atonement when the sin was confessed onto the scapegoat and when the blood of the Lamb was presented in the Holy of Holies once a year. Jesus simply said, "By faith, your sins are forgiven." He had faith to forgive sin. And the Word of God says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." Okay, now what does that say? Reasoning in their hearts. They weren't talking, they're thinking. They're thinking this. What we're about to read, they were thinking. "Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" He called them to him and said, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Am I in the right chapter? No, I'm not. Sorry. "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them," did you see what just happened? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, he was receiving a word of knowledge. Gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, word of knowledge. He was perceiving what they were thinking. That is a word of knowledge. God was showing him by the Spirit what these scribes were thinking in their hearts. So he addresses it. "What are you reasoning? Why are you reasoning these things in your heart? Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the sick of the paralyzed? Your sins are forgiven, or arise, take up your bed and walk." And of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because we can't see that. We can't see the result of that word, can we? "But that you may know, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin." He says to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your bed, and go home." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before all of them, that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it like this." So not only did he have faith over sickness and disease, he had faith over sin and faith for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus continuously operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The same gifts that are given to us and outlined and defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If we are not moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's not because it's not God's will. It's because we don't use our faith for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we should begin using our faith for those. We're going to keep going. Only now I'm going to go to chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. They came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had often been bound with chains, and the chains had been broken by him, and the handcuffs broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Okay, let's just talk about that for a moment. We've got a wild man, a wild demon-possessed man. He lived in tombs. tombs. He was doing something that people still do to this day when they're in mental distress, cutting himself. There are young people that cut themselves today, maybe older people too, because of their emotional distress. That is prompted by demonic activity. Not that they're demon-possessed, not that they're involved in the occult, but it's not an angel that's causing them to cut themselves. Here we see it. This man, totally possessed, cutting himself, and he's crying. Now, that word crying doesn't mean he's weeping tears. He's crying, he's shouting, he's screaming. He's beside himself. When Pastor Mary Beth and I were in India one of the times, we were there three or four times, but one of the times we were in India, our hostess took us to Mother Teresa's, and it's the house of the dying. And we noticed a spiritual principle. The closer we got to the house of the dying, which was right by the temple of Kali, which is the chief goddess of the city, Kalikut is the name in Bengali, city of Kali, the more death, the more destruction, the more poverty, the more filth. And Mother Teresa, her whole idea was she didn't actually get people saved. She just gave them a place where they could die with dignity. Rather than die on piles of garbage, should bring them in when they're on the point of death, bathe them, give them clean clothes, clean sheets, and they would die in dignity. So right there was also something called the burning ghat. The burning ghat is where the Hindus take the bodies of people. They don't bury them in the ground. They don't burn them in a crematoria. They take them to the burning ghat, which is right by the Ganges. Is it the Ganges River? Ganges River. And they have a funeral there, and they put wood and sticks, put the body, and they burn the body. And when it's finished, when all the firewood is burned out, even if the body's not completely consumed by fire, they then put the remains into the river. Well, it's a crazy place. And there's these things going on. There's bodies being burned all over the place in this burning ghat. It's a big place. And, of course, there are demon-possessed people there. Now, she just wanted to us to see this. She wanted to show this to us. But from the moment we got there, somebody got right behind us and in Bengali, screaming at the top of his lungs at us as we walked. And we didn't go deeply into that. We were just walking to see. She wanted us to see what goes on in that city. And this man, and we turned to her and said, what's going on? And she said, ignore him. Ignore him, he's screaming at you. Ignore him, he's screaming at you. And we said, what's he saying? And she said, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Just keep on going. He can't touch us. He can't touch us. Because greater is he in us than he that's in the world. This is he's demon possessed. And he's just hurling all kinds of things at you. But just keep walking. So, very similar situation. So here, when he sees Jesus, he runs and worships him. There is something in the man left of himself that he responded to Jesus, and he came and worshiped. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I ask you by God, you torment me not. Now that was not the man speaking. That was a demon speaking through him. For Jesus had said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. So Jesus had already said that, and the demon spoke back to Jesus. And he asked him, what's your name? He answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. You're like 5,000 or 6,000 in a Roman legion. So that's a lot of demons in this poor guy. And he besought him that he would not send them away. Now there was nearby a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils asked him, saying, let us go into the swine. And Jesus allowed them, and the unclean spirits left the man and entered into the swine, and the entire herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned. That is an example of the goal of demon possession. The goal of demon possession is death. The goal of demon possession is to be as destructive as possible with the body that they possess, but ultimately to destroy that body before they can give their life to Christ, before they can be saved. So pigs who have no resistance like we have immediately died, just ran for the water and died. They that led the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. They went out to see what it was done. They found Jesus and the man that was possessed, and he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, this just boggles the mind. They weren't afraid of the guy when he was breaking chains, cutting himself and howling in a tomb, but now that he's normal, they're afraid. That's the world. The world is not afraid of the depravity of the world. The world is afraid of the simplicity of the gospel and of the power of the gospel. But Jesus, he had no fear. No fear. He has faith over fear. Anybody else, if that crazy guy is running right at you, they would have started backing up and running away. Jesus just stood there. He had faith over fear. There was no fear known to man that would get on him. His faith was bigger than anything to fear. He had faith over the demonic. His faith was greater than the demonic. Now, let's go to here. Verse 21. When Jesus went back to the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. Behold, there comes one to him, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, this is something that the ruler shouldn't do. He's defying the scribes and the Pharisees. He's falling down to worship Jesus. He is like the president of the synagogue, the head of the synagogue. He's not a priest. He's not a Pharisee or a scribe, but he's the president of the synagogue. He besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come lay your hands on her that she may live." Jesus went with him. Much people followed, pressing on him. A certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, nothing better but grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind in the crowd, touched his garment. She said, "If I may touch his clothes, I'll be whole." Straightway, fountain of her blood was dried up. She was healed of that plague. Jesus had faith to share. Jesus had faith to share. He looks at her and says, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." Where did that faith come from? The faith that she saw operating in him. When she heard about what he was doing, what he was saying, it caused faith to grow in her heart. Jesus shared his faith, and he shares his faith with us. The faith that we have is his faith that he's sharing with us, and he wants us to do the same things he was doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is on the way, of course. And I'm going to pick up again in verse 33. While Jesus is speaking with this woman, one comes from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, "Don't trouble him any longer. Your daughter has died." As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, I would like for that to be burned into all of our hearts, that whenever we hear bad news, we do not be afraid, but we believe. In spite of what we just heard, in spite of what the doctor says, in spite of what the test results are, in spite of anything, we're not afraid. Whatever news we hear does not cause fear. We put our faith in the Lord. Jesus had faith over fear. Jesus had faith over fear. And so he says to him, "Don't be afraid. Believe." Believing will change everything. He allowed nobody to follow him except Peter, James, and John. He comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, sees the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he came in, he said, "What are you making all this noise for? The little girl's not dead, she's sleeping." They laughed him to scorn. Jesus had faith over ridicule. There are a lot of people who do not. There are a lot of people who compromise because they're being ridiculed. They're being made fun of. Compromise because they want to look cool. Compromise because they don't want to be outcast. They don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to be called the goody-goody two-shoes. They don't want to be known as one of those kind, the Jesus freak. And so they'll compromise, but not Jesus. Jesus had faith over ridicule. He didn't care how many people laughed or how loudly they laughed or how long they laughed. He had faith over ridicule. We must develop faith over ridicule, ostracism, kicked to the curb, over our culture, over our society. He took the little girl by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." She got up. Jesus had faith over death. Faith over death. We saw it demonstrated when he said, "Take away the stone." Faith over biology. Faith over physiology. Faith over chemistry. Faith over natural understanding. Faith over the laws of nature. Jesus' faith is greater than the laws of nature. That's why the Word of God says that if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, He makes our bodies, makes us alive to the things of God. And we're no longer under the law of sin and death, because we're under the law of life in Christ Jesus. So he has life and faith over death. But now, this is the part that I really wanted to get to in the last message, and we'll finish it up tonight. Mark 8. We're going to look at three verses in Mark 8, three in Mark 9, three in Mark 10. Mark 8. Jesus has faith for God's word, for God's prophetic word. Verse 31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke that saying openly. Peter took him and began to tell him not to speak like that. But when he had turned about, looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You savor not the things that are of God, but the things that are of man.'" Jesus had faith for the Word of God, even when it wasn't what his body wanted to do. He had faith for the Word of God. Now, let's think about that for a moment. In our world, we kind of do what our body wants to do. We eat when we're hungry. We drink when we're thirsty. Our body kind of regulates our day. Most people have breakfast in the morning, and then they have a lunch break. And then they finish work, and they have dinner. Now think of smokers. Smokers have smoke breaks, right? Anybody work with smokers? They have a smoke break in the morning, and their body tells them, go smoke. And they have a smoke break in the afternoon. By law, people have smoke breaks. You ever seen, you know, since they started banning smoking inside of buildings, and you have the cloud of smoke outside the building as all the people are out on their smoke break and they're smoking out there. And now with vaping, it's the same thing. Just vape breaks, it's not on fire. But it's electronic and it has the same result. We'll see. I mean, now people will say, well, it's not the same. 10 years from now, we'll see. It's the same. Anytime you put anything like that into your lungs, it's going to do something.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.